measure that we created this year using ArcGIS to kind of fill a void in our data set. And I have no personal financial relationships to disclose, as you've heard many times this conference, I'm sure. But I do want to say that the County Health Rankings and Roadmaps is a collaboration between the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute. So we received our WJF funding for this project. So the main objective of creating this measure was that we really wanted a built environment that talked about physical activity, because we know the built environment is modifiable at the community level. And those are the measures that we want to get to talk about how we can get people healthier later in life. And we were lacking a national data set that had this kind of, or a national data set at the county level where this existed. And the secondary reason was to enhance our diet and exercise health factor area, which currently includes measures of physical inactivity, adult obesity, and the food environment index. So this built environment measure of physical activity was kind of a complement to that food environment index, where we're talking about what communities can do to make their neighborhoods healthier. And the rationale for this is that physical activity is associated with improved health. We know this from many, many literature studies. It's associated with decreased diabetes, obesity, cardiovascular disease, and many other health outcomes. But we also know that the built environment can encourage physical activity if things like sidewalks, parks, and gyms are built near households. And we know that increasing physical activity will improve health at the community level as well as at the individual level. And we found some literature from multiple data sources, actually, that suggested that trips longer than 10 minutes are associated with increased odds of inactivity. And this 10 minutes kind of shaped our beliefs later on. And this comes from the park score as well as some studies that have been done with individuals and households. And so just a little bit of background about why we, so like I mentioned, we needed a nationally available county level measure to use in the county health rankings, which is tricky because there's really good built environment measures that exist, but they're usually limited to a specific city or metropolitan area or even maybe a whole state. But we're not able to take that city data, you know, and compare it to a county level or a national level. Or maybe one state has really good data, but it's not comparable in another state. So those are two reasons that we struggled with finding a measure for this and had to create our own. But also, the measures that we did locate were limited to one type of data, which was either like a park data or a gym. So we wanted to really incorporate indoor and outdoor facility data because we know people exercise in different ways. And even the same person exercises in different ways. We were just chatting that we're from the Midwest and there's snow up there. So people aren't exercising. Well, some people are. The crazy people are exercising outside right now in the snow, but most people are doing it inside, right? And then two current measures that we look to create this measure were the walk score and park score. And if you're not familiar with those, you can look them up online, but the walk score really deals with location efficiency of households. And then the park score deals with how major cities are meeting the demand for parks in their own city, but it's limited to just 60 national cities, and they're doing 15 more next year. But so we weren't able to use those nationally, unfortunately. So what we did do was we looked for types of data that we could that were nationally reliable. And so we were able to locate park and recreational facility data for this measure. And the park data we got from two sources. We purchased data from the DeLorme MapMart data, which has a landmarks file where we were able to extract local, state, and national parks. And then we were also able to use the Esri Park data, which is a database available online that you can download, and it also has local, national, and state parks. And for each park file, we were able to create a half-mile buffer around it, which is what we, and the park score people as well, kind of considered nationally on average is about a 10-minute walk to a park. And people are more likely to walk to a park in their neighborhood than they are to drive, which will drive our other buffer sizes. But they're more likely to go to the one that's in their own neighborhood than drive 10 minutes across town to go to a park for exercise. And then we also use recreational facility data, and we use the NAICS codes, which are a business code, or business data set from the census. And we purchased data from the OneSource Business Browser because that had primary and secondary codes. And that you can see the six-digit code there is the code that identifies a place for physical activity, and these are self-identified codes by the business. But for instance, a YMCA would list physical activity as a secondary code many times because they're really a community center is how they would primarily identify themselves. So we wanted to make sure we were catching both kinds of businesses. They are available for free download online if you just want the free or the primary code, but we wanted to get at both of them to enhance our data set. And for each recreational facility, we created a 1 mile buffer around it in urban areas and a 3 mile in urban or in rural areas, excuse me. And so we believe that nationally that's about what translates to on average a 10-minute drive in each of those areas. You know, with an urban area, more lights, more traffic, you can't get as far in 10 minutes. And so that's what that looks like. And just an example of buffers for those who aren't familiar with GIS. This example is in Dane County, Wisconsin, where Madison, the University of Wisconsin, is where we're located. You can kind of see where all those parks are. That's right where we are. But you can see it's kind of green but kind of yellow up there. It looks like where the actual parks files from the database. And then the blue or purple around it is that half-mile buffer. And using GIS, you can tell GIS, well, now I want a new file that includes both of those, because as I mentioned, we were interested in those who lived reasonably close to a park or recreational facility, knowing that people don't actually live, you know, within them themselves, so we wanted to create these buffers. So I'm just going to chat quick about the methods that we use, and then I'm going to show you in pictures what that looked like in GIS, because we find that much more easily digestible, I guess I should say. We were able to overlay all those parks and recreational facility data that I mentioned onto the census block Tigerline files. And then using GIS, you can intersect that data to attach the park data to the census block data. And then census blocks where at least one of those buffered layers, so a park or recreational facility, touched that census block, we considered to have access to exercise. And we use census blocks because they're a very small geographic region, but also because we could get population data reliably from the census. And so using GIS, then you can aggregate that population data. So essentially it creates an indicator variable of whether or not one of those parks or recreational facilities is touching that census block. And we can aggregate that population at the county level of those that had access, as well as the total population. And then our final measure is just a percentage of those with access in a county. So what that looks like in practice, so these are the four data sets we had. So the two on the left are from Esri. They have a macro and micro data set. And then one on the top right is from the DeLorme MapMart data. And you can see that just using these three parks files, we wanted to use more data because not one of them, you know, has all the parks in the data set, and some of them include ones that other ones don't. And then the bottom one is those recreational facilities, and you can easily see the 1 and 3 mile buffers around those as well. And using GIS, you can overlay all of them onto one file. And so you can see that Dane County census block file in the back, and then all those parks and recreational facilities in those different shades of orange on top of it. And using that intersect function, like I said, we can spatially join that park data to the data behind it, so that where those white areas are where those parks or recreational facilities lay in the census block. And taking that one step farther, we're able to say, as I mentioned, what census blocks were touching those buffered files. And so those are the white ones in this case. And GIS is nice because you can then export this as a text file and analyze it in SAS or Excel, whatever files or whatever data set you want, or within GIS itself. But we were able to sum essentially those populations in the white census blocks over the total county population. Again, so that was our final measure, was the percentage of the census blocks with access to exercise over the total county population. And when we looked at our national results of this data, so in 2014 was the first time we released this measure. And so we were able to get data on almost every county in the U.S. And the mean county level access to exercise opportunities is about 52% with a standard deviation of about 25%. Which we like in the county health rankings because there's variation and we can talk about that. And we can talk about counties compared to each other. But you can also see the range of counties went from 0% with access to 100% with access. And this is important because a county with 0% access means that they have a location for recreational facilities, but nobody lives near it. And so those are really important for us to talk about when we go to communities and they're trying to work on these kind of things, that they have a park or recreational facility, but it's out of the buffer of where anyone in their county lives. And when we map this nationally, you can see there's not a huge regional pattern like we see in some measures, like if you've ever seen national maps of smoking or obesity. But the lighter counties here are performing better or have higher access to exercise opportunities. And you can see the East Coast performs pretty well. There's a lot of parks up there and recreational facilities in Southern California as well. But really not a super huge, you know, the Southeast isn't performing super horrible. There's maybe a little bit darker there, but not a super big regional trend that we see in some of other of our other measures. Excuse me. So thinking back to that, how we created it, it's really the components of the parks and recreational facilities score. And I just wanted to show you that this measure is really driven by the recreational facilities. And that's for two reasons. One is those buffer sizes were bigger, but also we have about three times as many recreational facilities in our data set as we do parks. And so a lot more exist in the U.S. than they do, than parks do. But you can see in both cases, there's counties with 0% and 100% access in both cases. But when we combine the measure overall, it actually looks pretty normalized, which we were happy to see. And then we also, in county health rankings, like to validate against other health measures that people use regularly. And we were all these were statistically significant using the county level data. But we were happy to see that it was associated in the expected directions. And fairly strongly when you think about county-level associations, so that counties with higher levels of access to exercise opportunities had lower rates of premature death. But we were most interested in the physical inactivity measure, and that was actually the strongest correlation that we saw, and is only correlational, but we think that the access to exercise being associated with lower levels of physical inactivity can start to explain reasons why that is the case, as well as the adult obesity. Or it provides a starting point for conversation for us with communities, which is important. So just a few strengths and limitations of this measure that we've encountered in our first year of using it. It's the first county-level measure, as I said, and it combines both park and recreational facility data, which, as I mentioned, you know, people exercise differently indoors versus outdoors, so we were happy that we could include data that comes from both sources. And then we also use this multiple sources of park data, which is important because, as you can see in those pictures, not one of them would have really provided a valid estimate of parks in a county. Additionally, for our purposes and for public health purposes, there's the possibility for longitudinal trends analysis because populations change, and we can capture that from the American Community Survey, as well as new parks and recreational facilities are added, which is important in terms of talking to communities about doing interventions and seeing results in their interventions. But finally, and most importantly, we think that the important part of this is that the methods that we used in GIS, which are fairly simple GIS methods for those familiar with GIS, but we were able to create those maps, like the one of Dane County that you saw, in counties that have more specific data, like, for instance, bike trail data that we weren't able to include because it's not available nationally in a reliable data manner. We can go into communities and say, this is what we have for you. You know, if they're interested in working on this, we can show them what we have and supplement it with some of their own GIS data, which most cities or counties have, you know, their Department of Transportation or something has some kind of data set. And they can see more what it really looks like in terms of where communities are lagging behind. Additionally, so some limitations. We didn't include bike trails and sidewalks, for sure. We would love to include those. They're very important locations for physical activity for many parts of the country. And additionally, we would like to get more park data or more business data. The business data we use is updated every year, so that's important, and it's the National Registry for, you know, economic. So it's fairly, that one's fairly reliable, but we know that also we are using the six-digit code to identify those, which might not be the best way because businesses identify in different ways based on their needs. There's two more, I guess, but one is that sources are rarely updated, as I mentioned, or maybe I didn't mention, but the parks data came from 2010, so it's really big GIS files, and they take a long time to create, so that one hasn't been updated, and we're hoping it's updated this year, but it might not be till 2015. But that recreational facility data is updated every year, so that's useful. But we also treated each park and recreational facility as if it provided the same opportunity for physical activity, which we know is not the case. And I've spent a couple days in New Orleans now and got to visit, you know, Jackson Square as well as City Park, and those parks look very different in terms of amenities that are available to access to exercise, and we weren't able to look at what actual things are available for people to do at the parks, you know, if there's a soccer field available or a jungle gym for kids. So this measure is really just about access. We also didn't measure distance, so like points of entry at parks are maybe different, and then cost at parks or recreational facilities, you know, where you often have a membership, which is another barrier. So this measure is really about access in terms of geographic distance rather than all the barriers that are associated with it. But we do believe at County Health Rankings that GIS is a powerful tool, and some of our other speakers will speak to that as well. We think we're just kind of tapping the surface on its potential in terms of environmental health measures and public health, and that it really does have the potential to enhance our studies when used appropriately. And we were happy that our measure was associated with physical activity and other health measures that we expected it to be. But we know that we need to do more research on other data sets that we can include. And we're doing this for the 2015 release and kind of trying to further validate some of those recreational facilities that we included to enhance the measure and then be able to explain more about physical and activity at a county level. And finally, and most importantly, our work at the County Health Rankings and Roadmaps is this measure can be used to encourage built environment interventions. So really, it's the start of a conversation in communities. And one of our community coaches was just telling me she was in North Carolina, and they performed fairly poorly on this measure, the county that she was in. But it was an opportunity for her to talk about, well, what else is in your community? This measure doesn't include bike trails. And they had a huge bike trail community. But we were able to have conversations about it to drive interventions. And this doesn't have to be building a new park or recreational facility. It can be as simple as opening an open gym at a school that's in a neighborhood that doesn't have access currently, or having a yoga class at a senior center a couple times a week if they don't have access. And so there's many interventions that can be done with this measure, but really it's about the conversations we can spur. And briefly, I just wanted to tell you that we love GIS, but it's also problematic, so it's not all sunshine and roses all the time. And GIS analysts are great, but sometimes you can have data limitations, so you'll get a really good data set, but if there's no spatial data or no geographic identifier, you can't use it in GIS, which is very sad sometimes. And then we just encourage people to think about making sure their data is correct when they start. We've learned from our own mistakes in terms of projection limitations. When you get data sets from two different people, they might not be projected in the same way, and your East Coast lines don't match up, and then everything else will be off. So when you start, just really make sure all your data is correct. And then we also, so best methods for displaying maps, we like to think about what we want our map to convey at the beginning of the analysis so that it really is powerful at the end of it. Because you can use coarse tiles like I used, or dot densities, or three-dimensional maps, and there's many ways to display them. But if you really think about what you're trying to convey at the beginning, it helps make that a more powerful tool for communication later. And then just data overload. Depending on how you, what measures you're doing, some GIS things, you know, we can do in an hour or less than an hour, but in terms of creating this measure, it took us about 6 weeks and a half because we had to run each state individually because there's, for states like California, for example, there's a lot of parks, a lot of recreational facilities, and a lot of census blocks. And GIS is trying to, you know, match any of those up for a possibility of a match. So it takes a long time for states like that. And so we just encourage people to think about how long their analysis will take and, you know, what staff they have on hand to do that so that it, if it's worth the outcome in the end. And finally, I just want to thank the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, who funded this work. Dr. Catlin is our co-PI on the County Health Rankings and Roadmaps, and then my co-authors for this work who are on the rest of the data team.